Hey, golf podcast fans, experience the thrill of 1 week fantasy golf every week at DraftKings.com. Amazing prizes are up for grabs each time you play. Mike, perfect example of that. There's a big one this week.
There is. There's a huge one coming up, Frank. It's called the Drive the Green $400,000 game. And this is the cool part. The winner gets $100,000. And what's even better is you can enter it for free by using the code LOFT at checkout. So, Frank, you get a chance to enter a contest for free. No brainer, right? So you log into DraftKings, you deposit, make your first deposit, put in the coupon code, and then boom, you get the tournament entry for free.
Yeah, and you know we're all going to be watching the players anyway. You know, might as well make it a little bit more fun. And that's what I do every week. I mean, I love it. You love it. We've been playing DraftKings for, what, 2 years now? Throw together a couple rosters. They've got all different stakes, you know, games. They've got your, as you said, your free entries, some $3 entries. And then if you want to get a little bit more bold, look, they had the big millionaire maker. They're going to have a few more for the U.S. Open and the majors this year. So whether it be you just play for the majors or you're playing week in and week out, you know, it couldn't be more fun, right?
It couldn't be. And even last week, the Golficity guys had Jamie Lovemark and Jason Day as their two picks to win. I grabbed them both, and I ended up cashing in pretty nicely last week.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right, so use that promo code LOFT, L-O-F-T, at DraftKings.com now and play for free with your first deposit in a fantasy golf contest. Over $250,000 in prizes are up for grabs, so you can seriously cash in. That's code LOFT, L-O-F-T, to play for free for your share of $250,000 only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Welcome to the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey, welcome back to the Golf Podcast. Mike, believe it or not, this is episode 116. I was thinking about that when we were prepping for the show. I'm like, every time I put that 100 in front of the number, I'm like, I can't believe it. You know, it's just, it's so great. It doesn't feel like we've been doing this for 2 years. It feels like we just started because it's just so much fun week in and week out. But over 100 episodes under our belt, man, it just keeps getting better.
It does. And the fact that we get to play golf every week and then we get to talk about it every week, just, you know, it's great. I'm loving it. I love the whole idea. I love what we do. It's actually, I say this all the time. I haven't said it in a while, but doing this show, Frank, has dramatically improved my game because I take it out to the course. The stuff we talk about, I bring it out there and I actually do it. And I'm hoping that you guys do it too out there.
Yeah. You know, what's so cool too, is that here we're getting to indulge some other areas of the game too. You know, we've talked about so much with the instruction, you know, probably 80-90% of what we talk about on the show is instructional stuff. And that's, you know, always a lot of fun. And we have so many of our listeners emailing us each week at podcast@golfficity.com and letting us know how things might've helped them out or different areas where they're working on their game. But the other fun thing too, Mike, is just getting to explore other areas of the game. So we're going to kind of be working on that the next couple episodes, just kind of give you some other areas, because I like to think of golf, you know, kind of as a lifestyle, you know, to a certain extent. There's so many peripheral things that are fun, interesting aspects of the game. And one big thing is tonight, you know, we've got a really fun guest on the show. We're going to be talking to Marty Hackle. He's the fashion director at Golf Digest. And Marty's got the coolest job. I mean, he gets mm-hmm. to go in and dress these guys. And we, you know, we're always talking about it at work around the water cooler, saying, you know, what's the cover of Golf Digest this week, especially, you know, the most recent one we had, Paige Spiernak, you know, mm-hmm. looking amazing. So it's really cool to kind of see what goes in behind the scenes with all that. Now I'm looking forward to talking to Marty because, I think this, just like anything, I mean, it's entertaining. It's fun to find out, you know, what goes on behind the scenes, but also there's always things that we can kind of learn because, you know, it may not seem like the most often asked question, but it does get asked and people say, you know, I want to make sure I'm wearing the right thing when I'm out there. Like, what should I wear? You know, especially guys who are picking up, just starting to pick up the game. They they want to look the part, or if it's somebody who's playing in a corporate outing or something and they want to fit in. So you get that question. It's like, what should I wear? And you can't just pick anything and just wear what, you know, you can't just like, we've seen some guys out there dressed like Ricky Fowler and they have no business dressing like that. I know some of the guys I play with always joke and they say, listen, unless you're a 5 or under handicap, you shouldn't be wearing white pants.
Right.
But who knows? I mean, we all joke, we have fun. There's a lot of different things. And I think anybody should wear, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with. But
yeah,
I'm looking forward to talking to Marty about that.
Yeah, I am too. And I'm the type of guy, Frank, I love the fashion aspect of this game. Like you said, there's so many different avenues of golf. I mean, there's travel, there's fashion, and there's actually playing and then studying the history of the game. But when it comes to it, I'm the type of guy, when I walk into that PGA Superstore over here in near my town, you got the clothes on the right and you got all the gear on the left. I go usually right to the right. You know, and I'm looking at, you know, what cool shirts are out there and things like that. I'm the white belt guy. I mean, that's my thing. You know, I just like it. I think it's a cool part of the game. It makes you feel good. And one quick thing about Marty before we cut to that interview is that I wanted to just mention how I met him, because it's really interesting. I mean, one of the great perks about, you know, doing the show and being part of the site is that we always get the invite to the PGA Tour media events, which is great. I mean, they recognize us as being an outlet. And, you know, I met Marty recently, Frank, at the Barclays last fall. And he was in my foursome, and he was dressed really nice. And I said to him, I said, well, what do you do? And he said, well, I'm the fashion director at Golf Digest. And I said, what an awesome job. I said, I have to get you on the show and talk about it, because he was telling me some really interesting stories about Dustin Johnson and all these things. And I said, you know, it would make for a really interesting interview, and we want to get you on. And I didn't, you know, mention this in the interview, but I'll tell everyone out there, Marty's probably 40 years older than me. And he whooped my butt that day on the golf course. I mean, he was just a straight shooter, you know, and he had an excellent golf game. So it was a lot of fun meeting him, and I'm excited that we got him on the show tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Actually, Mike, one little funny, like, personal fashion challenge that I had just this past week was over the weekend, I needed some new golf pants. So I was out looking around, and just my personal thing, I like to wear, like, the slim fit pants, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find slim fit golf pants to save my life. Everything I put on was like parachute pants. And I'm just not comfortable in that.
What do you go tapered at the leg too?
I like the tapered. I like that because I feel a lot more comfortable. It's more like the pants I wear to work. And I feel like if it's too loose and I'm swishing all around, I'm just not comfortable out there. But I was trying a couple of different ones, Nike, things like that. You know, I wasn't having any luck. So if we get a chance, I want to talk to Marty about that. But I was even kind of searching around the internet a little bit, some different forums and stuff, guys talking about golf fashion. And a lot of them were saying you almost don't find them here in the States. It's mostly in Europe they have that cut.
It's a European look, sure. You just throw some rubber bands around the ankles if you want. But you know, those joggers, I think, are coming out. Ricky Fowler's, I think they're coming out next month. Maybe you can go pick those things up.
That I don't know if I could pull off. I might have that might have passed in my age. I can't do that, but we'll have to see. But so I'm excited to bring Marty on the show. Before we do that, a couple things I want to just go over. We've got some more great listener feedback. Over the past couple of days, I'm getting a lot of emails. The show's getting very busy. The golf season's picking up in full swing. Like I said, love it when we hear from you guys, whether it be in our Facebook group or emailing us directly. We got one email that came in from Shay, who said he was wondering if we can do an episode on slope rating and understanding course difficulty. But what he really, you know, the real important thing here that I really liked when I heard, he's talking about, he wants to find out how to set goals for each course based on that specific, you know, rating and that slope rating, and how to walk away knowing whether you played better or worse than your game, you know, as it relates to that slope rating. So that is an excellent, excellent question and an excellent point to be made there too, because shooting an 80 in one course and then on another course with a totally different slope rating, they're not one and the same, you know? And even your handicap is going to adjust to a certain extent based on the slope rating. So, Shay, absolutely. That's on the docket. We're going to be talking about that this summer. We're going to be working up all the information and researching that so we can talk about it. I know on Golficity, Mike, we've touched on it in a few instructional articles just briefly on how slope rating is calculated. So definitely check that out. Go to Golficity. golfcity.com and give that a quick look. And like I said, there's a lot of other great tips and advice on there too. We also got an email from Jamie and Mike, hopefully I'm pronouncing this right. He's in Wirral, England. He said it's close to Liverpool, and he talks about how much he's been enjoying the show and how he's been playing some municipal courses and really loving it. And he said that no doubt with our tips and guidance, he'll be playing better, playing some of the better courses too soon. So definitely keep that up. Mm-hmm. Funny thing too, I think you got a little dig in there about the Ryder Cup. I think everybody's starting to go back and forth a little bit about the Ryder Cup, which is great. Mm-hmm. I know I love that kind of camaraderie of the back and forth, the States versus the guys over there in Europe. So we'll be talking about that a lot more too. But Jamie, thanks for writing in and letting us know a little bit about your progress as well.
Yeah, I mean, I love getting those emails. It's great. I mean, this, after all, it's what we do it for, right, Frank?
That's exactly right. All right, Mike. So we got a lot to talk to Marty about. He's also a very busy man, especially now during the middle of the golf season. So let's not keep him waiting. Let's do a quick word from our sponsor now, and we're going to bring him on the show.
Hey, podcast fans. This episode is brought to you by No Halftime, the fantasy sports app that's changing the way we play daily fantasy sports. Frank, we've been talking about these guys for a while, and we have a good reason for it, because the app is great. It's fun. It's easy. It's player versus player fantasy sports. I mean, essentially, this is how it works. You pick a guy to play versus another guy. For example, I can get Adam Scott in round two this week at the Wells Fargo Championship versus Rory McIlroy in round four. And what's cool about it, Frank, is you can get strategic. If you know it's going to be rainy on Friday, you can kind of use that to your advantage. Now, you keep winning money on this thing, so talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, Mike, I can't get enough of it because, week in and week out, I've been doing really well, and it's a lot of fun. And honestly, you said it when you talked about the app. The ease of it is really where the beauty is. I pull it up on my iPhone. I can do it in 2 seconds. I accepted a challenge a couple of weeks ago right on the show, but I'll jump in there, especially, you and I were doing all of our regular fantasy stuff. And then after Thursday, when those lineups lock, it's kind of a little bit of a lull. So Friday, I'll jump on. I'll look around for, some round three versus round four challenges. I'll accept a few and some of them that look good and usually win a couple. So I've been loving it.
Yeah, it's awesome. So definitely check them out. They're No Halftime. You could stop at nohalftime.com. It's available for iPhone, Android. It's really heating up now with the Players, this week, and the U.S. Open's right around the corner, and even the other sports. I mean, they cover every other sport. So if you're not into golf, watching it on TV, and you're a big NHL or NFL person, you can play with that as well. So visit nohalftime.com for more information. They're even going to give you a $10 deposit bonus when you enter the code GOLF at sign up. So once again, No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break.
Okay, so we got Marty Hackle on the line. Marty, welcome to the Golf Podcast.
Well, it's nice to be with you.
So you've got quite an exciting job with some cool perks. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yes, my title is Fashion Director. But my job is really to help everyone that we photograph look as good as they can look. And sometimes that's a challenge, and sometimes that's a piece of cake.
I can imagine. So, I mean, there's so much great, exciting stuff going on in the fashion world with golf right now. I mean, I don't think I ever remember a period where we were talking so much about it, from Ricky Fowler's joggers to, Billy Horschel and some of this type of stuff. Give us an idea. Like, what's your take? Where are things headed right now? What are some exciting things going on?
You're right. We're in a fabulous time because people are now a lot more aware of what players are wearing. Scripting has become very important, and scripting is really the apparel companies outlining for their players what they should be wearing, and it primarily is done for the majors. It's also being done for the Players next week, and the companies are doing it because they've invested a lot of money in the players, mm-hmm. and they feel they have a legitimate interest in making certain that the players are wearing the precise articles that will be in the shops, that will be in their advertising and promotion, so they can capitalize on that investment. And I think they have a perfect right to do that. And I think most of the players, almost all of them, are reasonably cooperative on that. Of course, there's a lot of discussion with each of the players about, okay, Rory, this is what we see you in on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday. Do you like these outfits? Are you comfortable with this? The players have input. So it's not like they're getting a memo from the company, wear this, wear that, do this, do that. There is a lot of interaction. In the old days, when Greg Norman was playing, as great a player as he was, 331 weeks, he was the number one player in the world. He was not really a good candidate for scripting. And he would basically script himself every day. Now, he was the number one golfer in the world, the handsome guy, a great player, in great shape. So he hardly ever really made a mistake. But today the companies want a little bit more dynamic sort of input with what's going on. And right now, for example, Nike's got this marvelous new shirt.
Yeah.
It has a new sort of collar treatment to it.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally they had Rory in it every day during the Masters. And, you know, at least that got that much more visibility for that specific product. It made great sense for Nike. Rory looked terrific in it. So that's really a win-win.
So that kind of brings me to fashion trends. I mean, how they start. I mean, it sounds like the company comes out with something new and then they identify their players that represent this brand. I mean, I know in your very own magazine that you work for, Golf Digest, Billy Horschel mentioned that white belts are out except with white pants. And Ricky Fowler, you know, he's been rocking, like Frank said, rocking those joggers. And he even brought out those flat bill hats not too long ago. So do the trends really just start with the company?
No, the trends start with players. The trends really start with me. Let's get a few things straight.
Sure.
The players listen to me, and no, just kidding. The trends really start with the players. Ricky Fowler, indeed, was the key architect in making the flat brim cap a success. Now, he didn't do that alone. He did that because the guys at Puma, at Cobra Puma Golf, were smart enough to realize, hey, this is something we should really develop and nurture. They've done a brilliant job with the flat brim. They've done a superb job with the joggers and the high tops. And they will continue to set trends. Bryson DeChambeau, who they've just signed,
mm-hmm.
wears a newsboy cap. Puma will start making a newsboy cap. And I'll bet you within 6 to 8 months, you'll see in a lot of golf shops across the country, newsboy caps. You'll see more people wearing it. It probably isn't going to be as popular a trend as the flat bill, but it's going to be very successful.
Mm.
He played at Hilton Head the other week when they announced this new relationship. Puma sent in a bunch of the newsboy caps, sold out almost before the boxes were open. They were sold out.
I bet.
So it's really a combination of the player having the right visibility and doing something that's sort of believable. Now, everyone knows that Billy Horschel now can wear fun trousers that aren't your basic, you know, navy blue.
Right.
And he has a lot of fun wearing it. He wears them well. He's in great shape. And the folks at Ralph Lauren, RLX Golf, have done a superb job of really cultivating that. So I guess it's a combination of smart manufacturers, players with good visibility, with foresight, and with some conviction, and players that want to have a little fun.
I think that's definitely a big point there, like you're saying, that you got to match the right player with the right I guess manufacturer and the right clothing, because I'm just thinking about this. You couldn't have thrown a flat bill on Tiger years ago and have it work. You know, I think that's part of the art you're saying, is that you got to find the right guy who's going to fit the bill, so to speak. No this pun is intended.
A lot, yeah. Michael, Frank, this is a lot like dancing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't do it independently. You need someone, you need a partner.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a player in a company that wants to dance, and they start dancing well, you know, these fun things happen. And, you know, companies are now, I think, really appreciating that. And they're looking for that in terms of who they sign.
Right.
So, that they, you know, they want players that, you know, that really get it and are going to be supportive of it. Some companies want to have all total control of the logo. You'll notice all the Nike players just have the swoosh. You don't see anything else. And then you've got players like Zach Johnson, our Open Championship winner from last year. He's got a few logos on that shirt and on that hat. So there are two different ways to go. And they both, you know, work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, did you happen to catch Retief Goossens' unique outfit choice at the Zurich last week? They were mocking him. I think it was Faldo. I don't know who it was. They were mocking his. He had the plaid front with the non-plaid back and these plaid diamonds down the spine or something. It was really unique and interesting.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Nick Faldo commenting on what someone else
is. Yeah, right?
This is a guy, right, who's still trying to wear that same sweater that he wore when he won the Open Championship. I mean, he's an awfully good announcer. If he could dress half as good as he could announce,
yeah,
he'd work on the runway.
Uh huh. And I'm assuming you've met mostly all of these guys, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, I have to interact with these guys week in and week out. So when I walk down the range, first of all, they all have a comment about what I'm wearing, regardless of what it is. And we have a lot of fun with it. To tell you the truth, that I have one of the coolest jobs in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you had given me a blank sheet of paper and said, design for yourself the perfect job that combines your experience from working at Neiman Marcus and running Alexander Julian Clothing, I couldn't have picked a better job and a better company to work for. So knock on wood, I'm a lucky guy.
That's great. Really, that's excellent. Mm-hmm. You know, and speaking of which, let's talk a little bit about your job and where you were saying earlier for the events where the manufacturers are kind of setting up with the player feedback, what they're going to be wearing. But I would imagine there's a lot more control for you when they come into your magazine and they're going to be, you know, on the cover, you know, so kind of walk us through what's it like behind the
Frank,
scenes.
You know? I'll give you a good example. Frank, you're going to be on the cover in 3 months.
Okay.
And you've got a contract with, let's say, Tommy Hilfiger.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I'm going to do is, once we know that, I'm going to contact someone at Tommy Hilfiger in their golf division, and I'm going to chat about how we're planning on photographing you. And we're going to talk about what looks Tommy Hilfiger feels are important trend-wise for the period when that cover is going to be, you know, on the newsstand and in everyone's mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to try to pick out something that's going to photograph well. You know, lots of times companies do fabulous designs that might not lend themselves well for a cover image in a magazine. We want something that's clean, that's sharp, that's distinctive. that has some pop to it, if you will. So we'd coordinate that. Tommy Hilfiger would probably send me a box of three or four different choices, depending on how many different stories we were going to be photographing. We don't normally just do the cover. We normally do the cover and do a supporting story in the book. Mm-hmm. So we need to be photographing on the course, not just or in the studio, but not just posing for that one particular image for the cover.
Right.
So there's a lot of coordination there, particularly if, Frank, I noticed you've got a lot of extra logos on there. So we got to get that Transamerica and the MasterCard and the Wheels Up. Mm-hmm. We got to get all those logos on all of the Hilfiger clothes in enough mm-hmm. time so that we're ready. And then we get to the shoot. I'll steam all those things up and we'll send you over to makeup and get you looking great. And then we'll put the wardrobe on you.
Oh, I'm ready.
So there's a lot of coordination here, Frank.
If only we could, Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And the companies are all extremely cooperative. It's in their best interest. So it's always a very positive thing, so long as we have enough lead time.
Right.
Occasionally something happens where, you know, we don't know until the last second. Oh, my gosh, we're actually going to have a chance to shoot Thus and So Player next Monday. Mm-hmm. Well, that might not be enough time, seeing as how today is already Wednesday. We might mm-hmm. not have enough time to pull new things. We might have to pull what's currently in the pipeline, if you will.
Right. Well, especially with as much coordination as you say goes into it. I mean, I can imagine trying to do it that quickly can be really tough.
Oh, well, it happens and we figure out how to make it work. I mean, it's sometimes we don't know until a day before. We just have to be flexible.
Right.
And we have to be creative. And it usually comes out fine.
Yeah. And speaking of being creative, some of your covers have been really getting a lot of attention lately, even outside of the golfers. Paige Spiranak and I know Paulina Gretzky. So, I mean, you've got to have a little bit of fun getting a blank slate there, not having to worry about any sponsors and just getting to dress them, you know, however to get the most attention.
Yeah, that's not a tough assignment.
I could imagine.
Both of them are great, and you know they're beautiful, and we've got some great looking players in the LPGA that that we'd also like to photograph. So mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of nice opportunities out there. It's always fun trying to do this.
Yeah.
Frank, I'm trying to figure out a way that you and I can get some kind of special invite for Marty the next shoot, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm sorry?
Occasionally we need helpers.
All right.
So, Mike, you can hold the light, right?
I would love to. I'd hold the light for Paige Spiranak any day of the week.
There you go.
So Marty, that leads me. I wanted to ask you this too. You talk a lot about that and how the pros dress and everything that goes into it, but what kind of tips can you give our listeners for, you know, just putting some outfits together for themselves, whether it be, we've got a lot of guys who might be just playing, you know, just pick up the game, you know, for the first time, maybe they get invited to like a company outing or just playing on the weekend with their friends. And many times we see guys who will just go out there and wear whatever Ricky Fowler's wearing that week and it just doesn't work for them or whatever it may be. So some tips for guys who are just regular everyday golfers and who want to like look like they should be on the course?
Okay, we have a couple of rules here. And I think if everyone sort of abided by these rules, they'd probably be fine. We have a rule of 36. If your waist is over 36 inches, if your age is over 36 years, unless you're a police officer, don't wear a white belt. That's number one. Number two, If you have to stand in front of the mirror for longer than 10 seconds looking at what you're wearing, go change. Because whatever it is, if it's taking you that long to figure it out, it's not going to work. You're going to be self-conscious. And the last thing you need to do when you're out playing golf is be worried about how you look.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be comfortable with what you're wearing, which leads me to rule number three. Dress to your personality, not to trends. If you're an outgoing person, you can wear certain things that quieter people might not be so comfortable wearing. It might be a bolder color.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a brighter stripe. But you need to dress to your own comfort zone. And you don't need, per se, it has to be golf apparel. As long as it's good sportswear, as long as it's comfortable and it fits you appropriately, then you should go with it. And you don't have to spend a lot of money to look good. You know that Adam Scott is probably one of the best dressed golfers day in and day out. Any day that you see Adam Scott on a golf course, you could go to Uniqlo, which is a company that supplies him his clothes,
mm-hmm.
and you could buy everything that Adam Scott is wearing that day for less than $100. And I'm talking about his pants, his belt, his shirt, his socks.
Mm.
You could add all of that up and have change from a $100 bill.
Wow.
Wow.
And hey, doesn't he look great?
Yeah.
Yeah, now we could just figure out how to buy his swing.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go, right.
It's a pretty amazing. And, you know,
let's talk about the Ryder Cup for a second. You know, we're in a Ryder Cup year.
You beat me to it. Yep.
And the Ryder Cup's kind of a neat thing. The captain of the team is always very involved in the selection with the PGA of America as to who the supplier will be for the apparel. The players wear their own shoes, if you will, but the apparel is usually selected jointly by the captain and the PGA. This year, Davis Love being the captain, they're using Ralph Lauren as the supplier of the clothes. The Ralph Lauren team has designed the last two Ryder Cup uniforms. They also designed the U.S. Olympic outfits. They're also, you know, they designed for the U.S. Open, the ball boys and the linesmen and all the staff. They do mm-hmm. Wimbledon the same way, all the linesmen and all the staff. And they're very good at it. And they do a brilliant job, and it's a full collection. I mean, it's everything from soup to nuts. It's jackets, it's pants, it's belts, it's all of the little details, from the socks on down, so that the team really, I think, is looking pretty solid. The last couple of Ryder Cups, I think the team has looked excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed watching. I mean, that's one of the most exciting things for me about the Ryder Cup, just, you know, kind of seeing what these guys are going to wear. And then, of course, hoping that the U.S. kind of pulls it together and grabs a win, which I'm hoping on this year. But, you know, Marty, it was great to play that round of golf with you. I wanted to mention this because I met you at Plainfield Country Club last at the Barclays last year. And we got to tackle that course on the PGA Tour Media Day. And will you be back at Bethpage this year or Baltusrol, any of those places? Will you be over there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I will be.
So you travel a lot, you play the courses a lot local, or do you go outside of the tri-state for that as well?
Well, it depending on who we're shooting and what we have happening, I could be really at any tournament, any place that golf is being played, whether it's the European Tour or the U.S. Tour or the LPGA Tour. And by the way, we have to mention the fact that the European Ryder Cup team this year, my prediction, is going to look sensational. Darren Clark is the captain, and he has spent a lot of time and put a lot of effort into the wardrobe for the European team. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a fashion show, along with being a great golf event. Both the European and the U.S. teams are going to look sensational.
That's interesting. Clark's a fashion guy, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Clark is the most fun guy in the world to go shopping because he never asks what the price is. He always asks, how many colors does that come in?
That's great.
Yeah, Darren's a great fashion play. Just go look at Getty and look at any of the images of Darren over the past couple of years. I mean, he would look good taking the garbage out.
Oh, that's funny.
That's great.
So, Marty, before we let you go, I want to ask you this. In your 15 years now that you've been with Golf Digest, do you have any particular moment that you can recall as being your favorite, as far as maybe it's a cover shoot or something that you did or whatever it may be, you know, dressing a certain individual? Is there anything you can recall that really stands out as one of your favorite moments?
Boy, you know, there were so many. I had a great favorite moment once with Tiger when we were trying to convince him to wear flat front trousers, and we had great fun once with Bubba Watson when we were shooting at the Zurich Classic, and he wanted to recreate a shot of sort of hitting a limb of a tree, and he wouldn't quit until he succeeded. We always seemed to have some fun with Bubba Watson when we shoot with them. And Billy Horschel, is there a better subject? And gosh, I love working with Luke Donald when we're shooting with him, because he's, you know, an artist, and he sort of gets the creative process, and we have great fun with Jordan Spieth. So, you know, almost every single cover has its own unique story and personality. And I think that's what makes them so good. And it's not just me. It's the whole team at Golf Digest. It's the photo department. It's the instruction department. It's really everyone. It's a group effort. Right. And I'm just part of that effort. So We have great fun shooting the covers.
Well, I can tell you it certainly shows, because I always look forward to seeing, you know, who's going to be on the next, you know, the next month's cover. And it's always, you know, put together incredibly well. So it certainly shows all that hard work and all that coordination that goes into it.
Well, thank you very much. I'll accept that. Thanks, Mike and Frank, for the whole team at Golf Digest.
Excellent. All right, Marty, we want to thank you again for taking some time out of your busy schedule. I know we're right in the heart of golf season here, so taking the time to get together and talk with us, it was really a pleasure.
Well, I enjoyed it, Michael. I enjoyed it, Frank. Remember, stay away from that white belt.
We will.
We will. Thanks, okay. Marty.
All the best, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, Mike, so that was a lot of fun having Marty on the show. And, you know, going into it, I had a kind of an idea, as he had started to talk about the different sponsors and how they were going to mesh that with the players and what they're going to wear. But getting his insight and just finding out a little bit deeper, there is so much more to it even than that. And that's what just amazes me. I always enjoy getting that behind the scenes look and just seeing the beauty of what goes really into all this and the amount of coordination, the amount of people working on it. And it's a great thing. I mean, some people may say, okay, well, yeah, you're just, you know, sponsors want to sell clothes, so this is what they do. But look, to a certain extent, we're watching, you know, the PGA Tour day in, day out, or we're wearing the clothes. You know, we want to look good. We want to be able to, you know, see things that it's aesthetically pleasing. So it's really kind of cool. And you know, like I said, just having that little bit of insight of what goes into it was really an interesting take.
Yeah, and the fact that they get this gear just handed over to them. I mean, it's cool. I mean, just a really quick, funny story. A buddy of mine, a few Barclays back when it was here in Jersey, Jim Furyk, I don't know if you remember this, but he overslept and missed his tee time. So his job that week, his volunteer job, was to drive the guys back to the airport. So he had to drive Furyk back, and Furyk said, "Hey, I got these four hats that I was supposed to wear this week, and I don't need them. Here, you can have them all." So just the fact that they get all this gear, and then who knows what they do with it afterwards. They probably don't keep it. They probably do. I don't know. But, you know, that's really cool. And, hey, Marty's got an awesome job. I would kill to have that job.
He does. And I appreciate him giving us a little bit of feedback, too. I loved his little his rules there, the 36 rule and stuff like that, because it's so true. You do want to, like, wear something like we talked about at the beginning of the show, something that you're comfortable with, but something that, you know, you kind of make sure that, you know, it fits your personality, as he said. So that's really cool. And I know I'll use that little rule when I step in front of the mirror before I step out on the course for sure.
Yeah.
Because trust me, there's nothing that a group of golf buddies likes more than just ripping you a little bit if you're wearing the wrong thing out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess I got a few more years left of the white belt.
That's it, man. So, ride it out as long as you got until
I will. Not to age myself, but I will.
All right. So that's everything we have this week. Again, I wanted to thank our guest, Marty Hackle, for coming on the show. And again, let us know your feedback. We want to hear from you guys. Let us know some show topics, some things like that, because as Mike and I said, we kind of try to mix it up as much as we can, cover all areas of the game. We talked today with Marty about the golf fashion. We're going to be talking with some designers of a couple of different training aids coming up, and we're going to be talking about more instruction, but we want to hear from you guys. What is it that you want to work on? And we will, you know, work those topics into our shows coming up. So email us at podcast@golfficity.com and let us know what you're thinking. We'd love to hear about it. So that's all we have. Again, thank you, Marty, for coming on the show, and we'll see everybody again next week.